Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six.
Hey, homeschoolers. Are you someone who never does today what you can put off until tomorrow? Or do you have a student who's a procrastinator? If so, you will love this episode. I interview Barb Raveling, retired homeschool mom and author of the new book, Freedom from Procrastination. Before we go to the interview, I want to tell you about A Year of Living Productively, the sponsor for this episode. I tested more than 80 different approaches to improve my productivity. It took me years, but it doesn't have to take you that long to create a productivity approach that works for you. You can try a free sample just for homeschooling moms at psychowith6.com/AYOLP book. That's AYOLP book for a year of living productively. Barb, thank you so much for joining me again on the Homeschool Sanity Show. Can you please tell us what has been happening since we talked last?
Well, it's so great to be here, Melanie. I think the last time I came was a couple years ago, and since then I've been podcasting and still writing. I published 2 Bible studies since then, and my last one, actually I just published a couple days ago, is Freedom from Procrastination. So that's what we'll be talking about today.
Yay. I am so excited about that particular Bible study, especially because most of us have students who procrastinate. Yes, we have struggles with procrastination as homeschooling moms, but when we have students who procrastinate, I think we worry about them having some of the same negative effects of procrastination that we experience. So let's talk about what some of those effects of having a habit of putting things off are.
Well, I think it just affects all areas of your life. I had one of my sons was a procrastinator, and, you know, of course, I'm a procrastinator, have been a procrastinator for many years. But, you know, for the homeschool kids, they feel overwhelmed. They kind of feel like they have a black cloud hanging over their head because they have all this work, schoolwork to do. They're not getting done. And, you know, they don't really get to enjoy life because they're procrastinating. They might feel like they always have to be working, that they never get a break. So even though they might only have like three hours of school, they might feel like they have 10 hours of school because they spend so much time procrastinating. And it could make them feel like they don't like school, that they hate school. You know, that can lead to just a stressful life, even though they're kids. You know, kids experience stress just like we do. It can even lead to depression. In fact, there's one book that's out by a Christian biblical counselor, and he thinks one of the main reasons for depression is procrastination. And then probably one of the biggest things it does for our kids is they develop habits that will last all their lives. So if they go through their childhood procrastinating, you know, it's hard to break free from that. And it's going to set them up to procrastinate throughout life, which isn't hopeless. God can change us. And actually, this procrastination Bible study I wrote, I was thinking, you know, that would be helpful for kids to help overcome procrastination. But because it's just one of those things that's just really hard to get over.
Yes. And I know you mentioned that you have struggled with procrastination just as I have. So what have been the effects of procrastination in your life?
Well, I've had effects from procrastination throughout my life. But, you know, thinking about those homeschool years, back when I was a homeschool mom, I had 4 kids. And I was always overwhelmed. I had paperwork like crazy, just stacks of it. My desk was always a mess. The garage was a mess. I felt like all over my house. I had projects or incompleted. And then it also affected my homeschooling. I wasn't one of those on the ball homeschool moms who, you know, just had their kids doing, you know, math from 9 to 10 and history from 10 to 11. You know, I had a couple homeschool mom friends that were just incredible. And I'd feel like, you know what? I just hope my kids graduate learning how to read and how to write. My biggest fear, because one of the things I procrastinated the most, which is surprising, is making them write, teaching them how to write. Well, actually, I made them write. I made them all write, like, you know, maybe half an hour a day. And I didn't critique it, which actually helped them all grow up to love writing. I think 3 out of 4 of them have actually written a book, and one's really pursuing writing now. But I wasn't good at going back and, you know, doing, you know, checking the grammar, critiquing it, because that just seemed too overwhelming. So I'd say, oh, no, they're going to graduate from high school and not be good writers. And my kids said, no, don't worry. We have friends who are in public school. They're not good writers. So don't worry about it, which is true. They ended up doing okay. But it's just hard as a homeschool mom. It just affects everything. And it can make us not enjoy life either, right? Because we're just always feeling like, you know, here we are suffering in so many ways. You have to be the bad guy in so many arenas, you know, making their kids do the chores, making them do their schoolwork. It's just hard. And especially when you're a procrastinator.
Yes, it is. It's just hard. I love that.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is, there's work time, right, when we're doing our work, and there's fun recreational time, but then there's that middle ground of avoiding work time. And when we're procrastinators, we spend so much time in that avoiding workspace, and it's such a horrible place to live because you're not really enjoying life, but you're also not getting anything done. And a lot of times the things we do to procrastinate, like I'll waste time on the computer, we don't even enjoy those things. So we're doing things we don't even enjoy to avoid the work that we should be doing. And, you know, it's just not a good way to live life.
Mm, I love that. That is so true. It's just so true that that is just not a place that we want to be, for sure.
Right.
Okay. So when it comes to procrastination, can we find anything in the Bible that speaks specifically to that habit that we can have?
Well, I didn't know if there's anything that speaks specifically to procrastination in the Bible, although on my blog, I have a blog post, Bible verses on procrastination, and I can't remember, or Bible verses that will help you stop procrastinating. I bet I have 40 verses on there. So there's a lot of verses in the Bible that speak indirectly about procrastination, depending on the reason you're procrastinating. There's also all kinds of Bible verses that talk about work being good. You know, even in the garden before the fall of man, God gave Adam and Eve work to do. So there's lots about work being a good thing. But, you know, there's all kinds of stories in the Bible about people who are avoiding doing things God wanted them to do. And that's what we do when we procrastinate, right? We're avoiding doing things that either God wants us to do or things we want to do or feel like we should do. So we can learn a lot from all those people in the Bible, seeing how they approached the things they didn't feel like doing, seeing how God kind of corrected them and talked to them. There's a lot we can learn about procrastination from those records in the Bible.
Well, that sounds really interesting, and I'm going to provide the link in the show notes to your blog post with those Bible verses, so you can be looking for that. So now let's get into some strategies that we can use to teach our kids and ourselves to overcome procrastination. I'm really excited to hear what you have to share with us about that.
Okay. Well, I would say the first one is to teach our kids to be self-starters. I remember going to a homeschool conference when my kids were young, and I can't remember who the teacher was, but one of the things he said is, you know, back years ago when people made school, they got together and they made a plan of what they thought the kids should learn. Okay. And all these kids were, you know, came from a rural setting. So they wanted to teach them academic subjects, right? And so, you know, the school is all about academics. he said, as you guys, as homeschool parents, you get to decide what's important to teach your kids. And so I remember going home and talking to my husband, and I thought to myself, you know, the things I really think are important to teach my kids, you know, one, of course, is to, you know, to follow God, to love him with all their heart. But some of those other things were character traits. And one of those character traits I thought it'd be important to teach my kids is how to be a self-starter. And there's lots of ways that we can do this. And interestingly, this is one of those areas where we kind of have a heads up on the really incredible homeschool moms who have it all together. Because sometimes if you're really good at homeschooling, you'll do mother-directed homeschooling. So the mom's always kind of guiding the kids throughout the day and making sure they stay on task. Well, since I wasn't capable of that, thankfully, God gave me the gift of being a good delegator. So I was really good at kind of having the kids be in charge of their homeschooling and all their work. So here's some of the things I did with that. One was laundry. I had all the kids do their own laundry, and they did this from a young age. I would guess when I started it, my youngest was really only 4 or 5, and I just had them do their laundry. My friend had their kids do their laundry, and I said, what about separating the whites and the darks? And she said, oh, they just put it all together and nothing happens. I thought, oh, well, that's surprising. So that's what they did. They just, you know, when you get something new, you have to wash it separately sometimes, but otherwise they just did their own laundry, and I didn't nag them, because the consequences were if they didn't do their own laundry, they didn't have anything to wear. So I let them go around in clothes that looked bad, but because it was their choice. So anything you can do where they have to do something, there's some type of natural consequences, because if they're going to be self-starters, that means we don't nag them to do it. They have to do it and suffer consequences. Okay, another thing was I had a chore list. So I divided all the chores around the house so that each kid had one chore a day, and they had to do it before breakfast. I'd make them breakfast. And if they didn't have it done before breakfast, they'd get a little check on the chart. And I never reminded them. They had to do it on their own. And each little check stood for 15 minutes of work. So whenever I needed an extra job around the house, I just go look at the little chore chart. And whoever had 15-minute checks, I might have them do a job, you know, like if it was out, you know, raking leaves or whatever. So that was another one where I didn't have to nag. The little check mark was enough to motivate them to do that. The third thing I did was I had them each make a meal, one meal a week. So for kids, actually my husband did one meal a week too. So I only had to cook 2 dinners the whole time kids were growing up. And again, that started when my youngest was 4. Wow. And yeah, it's crazy, but here's what she made. Her meal was the same every time. She made chicken breasts with barbecue sauce on top, baked potatoes, and green beans. So all she had to do was put the chicken breasts in the pan, pour the barbecue sauce over it, you know, wash and wrap up a little baked potato, and put some green beans in a can. We just used canned green beans for a meal. Okay, and there wasn't a natural consequence to those meals, but there was a reward, and it was the praise of others. My little 4-year-old felt so incredible coming to the table with her meal with all her siblings saying, Abby, you did such a great meal. This is so good. And so they all became super competent cooks. And then the next thing was I had them make their own school list. So they had a list, and what they did, and actually this is going to be the next one of these tips. I'm just going to say it right now. Another strategy to help them overcome procrastination is to always do their worst first. Help them develop the habit of doing their worst first. So when they made their school list, I said, what's your worst subject that you hate doing the most? And that had to be at the top of the list. Okay. And then I said, what's your second worst subject? That had to be second on the list. And after that, they could choose their list in any order. And when they're younger, when they finished that subject, I'd have them put little stickers or stars on it. So, you know, it's kind of fun. It's kind of the equivalent of people who like to check things off the list. They put a little sticker on the list. But just that little thing of having them do their worst subject first, that was a huge difference in procrastinating. For my kid that procrastinated, that really kind of made him stop procrastinating. So make a school list. And also, if you can, help them be involved in choosing curriculum. So when we would you know, choose our curriculum each year. We always used to go hiking like the end of the summer, and a lot of those talks on high on our hiking trips were, okay, what do we want to do for school? What do you want to do for history? And of course, you can't do that for all subjects, you know, math and science. A lot of those things are just kind of set in stone. But like for history, I'd have them do their own research and get their own book list that they'd want to learn for, you know, whatever history they were using. So there's different things that you can do where they're kind of in charge of their lives. So that's one thing. Another one is to help them develop the habit of breaking big projects into small steps. Because a lot of times the reason they procrastinate is because they've got this great big project. It's super overwhelming. So if you can get them to say, okay, let's just make a list of steps. Okay, what are the steps to complete this? And just focus on one step. That's going to help them with that. My third tip, we already talked about, worst first. And the final one is to help them find out why they're procrastinating. And if we can help them find out why they're procrastinating, together you can brainstorm ways to get over it. Okay, one of my kids, he got bored super easily, and he loved to write stories. He was super imaginative. So what he did when he was unloading the dishwasher, he'd make some sort of story up in his head about unloading the dishwasher. I don't know quite how he did it, but he made the job fun. So if they're a kid that, you know, likes excitement, see what they can do to make jobs fun, or, you know, help them think of little rewards they can give themselves. If it's too hard, you know, then maybe somehow they need some help to figure things out, you know, schoolwork. Look for other resources for that. A lot of times they'll feel like they can't do it. So anyway, there's different strategies depending on why they procrastinate. And if sometimes you could just ask the question, why am I procrastinating? And what's the first step? Just those two little questions will help. Mm-hmm. So anyway, those are the ideas I had for helping them overcome procrastination.
Well, those are fantastic. So much gold in there that you just gave us. So I am writing this down. Why am I procrastinating, and what's the first step?
Right.
Okay.
You know, and for us as moms, that helps us too, because sometimes I'll ask that question, why am I procrastinating? It might be, oh, well, it costs so much. I don't want to spend that money. But if I'm going to spend the money anyway, just knowing that makes me realize, well, I'm going to spend it anyway. I might as well just get it done. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's just knowing the answer to that question will sometimes help us think, oh, okay, I guess I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that is very, very good. Okay, so now I'm really excited about your Bible study. I absolutely love Bible studies to help us address problem areas in our lives, in our kids' lives. So can you tell us more about the format for your new Bible study?
Well, the format, there's five different Bible studies in it, and each Bible study covers a reason for one of the reasons we procrastinate. So it's one is it's not that important. The second one is I don't want to do it. The third is I can't do it. The fourth is I'm too overwhelmed to do it. And that's actually, you know, a lot of homeschool moms, we have so much in our plates. That's a big one for us. And then the fifth one is I'm afraid to do it. So each of those Bible studies, you know, has different Bible verses or people in the Bible that we can look at to just kind of understand how that reason for procrastinating works and how we can get over it. And there'll be questions in there that will kind of reflect on your own life. And then after that, I have a whole bunch of to-do lists in the book. So I have 5 weeks of to-do lists and accountability charts where people write down what are your three most important things to get done that day. But here's the thing. It's just like going on a diet. We can make a diet, but it's not the diet that's the problem or the eating plan, the non-diet. It's just that we don't want to follow it. You know, something will come up and we'll want to break it, right? So it's the same thing for our to-do list. We make a to-do list and we don't want to follow it. So when you don't want to follow it, probably about, well, at least half of the book, I have different renewing activities. So you do one of these little renewing activities. It'll be either be scripture meditations with questions, or it'll just be questions from my book, The Renewing of the Mind Project. and you choose a renewing activity based on your reason for not wanting to do whatever it is you're setting out to do. And as you do that little renewing activity, it might take, 5-10 minutes. It'll be a little time to talk things over with God. And by the time you're done, you'll actually either feel like doing that task or at least not dread it. So you'll be able to do it. So it's kind of like a learning about procrastination in the comfort of your armchair with the Bible studies, and then learning about overcoming it in the thick of the battle with the renewing activities. And then the charts just help. You know what? One thing the charts help do, the to-do list and accountability charts, they help to develop a realistic to-do list for the day. Because a lot of the times what we do, and this is what I always used to do, I think that I'd make such a long list that there's absolutely no way I can do it. Or I make a short list and I'd spend maybe 4 hours in the first task. There's no time for the rest of the tasks. And I still expect myself to do the rest of the things. So the lists will help us plan realistic to-do lists that we actually have a hope of achieving.
Well, it sounds wonderful. So tell us the exact title of this book so we can get it right now and and where we can find it.
Well, it's called Freedom from Procrastination, Living Joyfully and Productively with God's Help. And you can find that. You can find it on Amazon, both as paperback or Kindle. I recommend doing it as a paperback just because of all the charts in the book. I think it's much more friendly that way. But it is available on Kindle for people who like Kindle. And there are some of the, well, at least like the to-do list you can download from my website, and I talk about that in the book. And I did make it in a cover that also, like would appeal to homeschool boys if it's something you want your kids to go through. The designer, she made all kinds of cute covers, and a couple of them were super cute, but they were really geared towards girls. And I thought to myself, I would have loved to have my boys do this study. So I made it one. It's kind of a scenery one, so it should appeal to both girls and boys.
Well, that is wonderful. I definitely want to do this with my whole family. So that is wonderful. Barb, where can my listeners connect with you online apart from grabbing Freedom from Procrastination?
Well, I have two podcasts, Taste for Truth podcast. That one's on weight loss. And then Christian Habits podcast. And that's just on, different realms of our faith. And then I've been doing some social media lately. I have a Facebook group and an Instagram or a Facebook page, Barb Ravling, and then Instagram, same thing, at Barb Ravling. I don't do tons of social media, but I have been doing a little bit more of that.
Well, that is wonderful. Barb, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share with us. I know people are really going to appreciate what you've shared today.
Well, thank you, Melanie. I just love what all you do. Melanie and I like to think and write and talk about the same things. And I'm just so thankful for all you do. And I appreciate the chance to be on your podcast and talk to my fellow homeschool moms. I'm a retired homeschool mom, so it's always nice to connect with homeschoolers.
I know you enjoyed that interview, and I also know you will be blessed by Barb's book, Freedom from Procrastination. The book is not directed to teens, but I think it would be very comfortable for a teen to work through. I've been doing the Bible study, and so far, I love it. To find a link to the book and previous episodes with Barb, go to homeschoolsanity.com/endprocrastination. I'll see you next time for another installment of The Trust Project. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.